This is Greg Verga here on Unfinished Music, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Annette Dion, and we have with us today Wild Maple, which is Gary Dolinsky on vocals and guitars. Hey, Gary.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well.
It's very nice to be here.
Thank you so much. Trish DiCaprio on vocals and violin.
Hey, Greg, thanks. Hey.
And on vocals and bass, we have Steve Strait.
Hey, Greg, is that you on the intro playing the bass?
That is, yes.
Oh, you're good.
Well, thank you. I agree.
Just was moving.
You can do wonders when you have, multi-track and pause and rewind
yes.
and cut and paste.
If my wife is listening, see, he gets to have toys, just saying.
So we thank you for coming down. It's we
our
appreciate
pleasure.
the drive from Framingham from you, Steve,
and it's a long way.
It was not good.
It was
what you don't know is Framingham, Connecticut.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah,
oh,
we're next
yeah.
to a long drive.
Right.
It would have been the same
commute from frickin' Framingham, Connecticut.
Well, I was Farmington. I'm sorry.
Farmington, Framingham, whatever.
We're lucky you made it.
I know, right?
During rush hour.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So good to be here. Well, let's. Why don't you guys jump right in with the tune, and then I'm going to tell us a little bit about it before you start it off?
Sure, and I will try to be brief. But this is actually a relatively new song for us as a band, but it was a song I wrote about 13, 14 years ago. And it's one of those double-meaning songs, and it's called Same Old Used to Be. It sounds like we're talking about somebody, but we're really actually talking about a broader swath of people, like a culture
Ooh.
Or a nation. And it's called The Same Old Used to Be.
All right.
Ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
Well, you're looking like you did all those years ago. Then you got your act together and you didn't do that no more. But now you're back. You're like a freight train rolling down the track. Things you're doing
was really, really moving. Like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you.
So why don't we talk about, we're going to talk about a ton of things today, but how you guys got together. I see there's sort of a rotating cast of some members, but you three, the core, pretty much?
Yeah, we're the core.
The core.
How'd you meet?
Trish, do you want to talk about how we met?
Not really, no.
I'll talk about it, even though I have no idea.
You'll talk about
it's a secret
anything.
Story.
And he tells really good stories, no matter what. We met actually through a mutual friend who a lot of people on the North Shore here will certainly know, Julie Daugherty. We were at an open mic.
And, up in Newburyport.
And she introduced us at the Grog. And thought she knew us individually, and I think she knew enough about us that she figured we had some musical interest, similar musical interest. And so that's where it started. And yeah.
And that was Trish and I. Steve's a newcomer to the band.
They found me wandering the streets of Framingham.
Homeless.
Homeless.
You look kind of cute and kind of puppy-like. So.
Do you have his
walking around
open?
With your stick bass there. And
my stick bass, yeah.
He was dragging his cord. It was really sad.
Yeah, I had no clothes. I decided and said, we'll work for pants or something. And,
so. Yeah, that's what was different about you.
Bass solo is $5.
Yeah. You know how much money I made? Great. Tell them how much money the guy offered to make the
bass. I owe $15.
Yeah. Right. Trish and Gary have known each other since I think the Carter administration and
close.
And so recently they said, you know, I guess they had some bass player, you know, some guy.
Clearly not as good as you.
Clearly not.
No, we've never had a bass player.
Well, there was this rental guy.
There's been fly-by-nights and stand-ins and, you know, one-night stands and all that kind of stuff. But we've never had a bass player, have we?
No.
And we've always wanted
not
a bass player.
Bass player. We've had people play it on recordings for us who kind of sat in bass. But
So how did he become qualifiable?
Yeah, well... They put an ad in Craigslist and they said, you know, we're looking for a bass player. And
I thought it was a long shot. I said, Craigslist, you know, I don't know. And then this guy writes in as an intelligent reply, and he sounded good, and we tried him out, and it's great.
Cool.
And he just kept coming back, so.
They couldn't get rid of him.
Yeah.
So you found out he was qualifiable, and you, Gary, would have known if he was certifiable.
And I was still am a little bit on the fence.
I don't think there's any doubt.
Yeah. And for people out there, that's because Gary's a psychologist.
Yes. And so that's my other life. That's what I do on the side now that I'm doing music full time.
Do you have a screening process that you go through?
For myself?
No. For the bass players.
It's awful what they get.
The amazing thing is that he doesn't drool, and I think that's...
much.
All the ink blots look like bass guitars.
Yeah.
No, you're funny. I've known you for a while, and I didn't know you were so funny.
So you two know each
I'm
other.
I'm in my element.
We're not very well, but we had some
musicians, we all think alike.
Oh, okay.
It's a whole different plane.
Songwriters all think alike.
So, well, that's a good segue. Nice job. So songwriting, what's the usual plan of action for that. I know you do some traditional stuff. You do at least one song we're going to be playing later on is by a friend of yours who wrote it, but you mentioned this tune you played, you wrote. So what's the usual process?
Well, for the last, I don't know, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, how many years have we been playing together? For the last however long we've been playing together, we mostly have done cover tunes. But we'd look for obscure and unusual cover tunes for the most part. And then Gary used to play in a duo called Compass Rose, and they really focused on originals. And he introduced me to some of theirs, and they were fantastic. And I said, we have to start doing some of these. So we started incorporating them. And then I, through other musician friends that I have, other singer-songwriters in the area, I guess I just got inspired to start writing a little bit too. So we had a 3-year break, and then when we reconnected, we said, let's make the focus a little more original-oriented this time.
Yeah.
So I've started writing originals, and when we picked up Steve, it turns out he's got some originals, so we're just sharing the load now.
Move more in that direction.
What's an obscure cover tune?
Lesser known.
You know when you play a cover tune that
I
one of your...
I thought a cover tune was something everybody
like
knew.
A deep cut.
No,
it's like a deep cut.
If your friend writes a song and nobody's really heard
that
it's a cover, technically, because you didn't write it, but nobody's really heard it.
So. I thought a cover tune was like... a hit.
No, that's not how we cover something like by Robert Earl Keane.
Did you think
how many people know him?
No. It's because the band I was in high school, we played 80s music because it was the 80s, but we didn't do the hits. We hit deep cuts from the album.
And you call them cover tunes. I learned something today.
Yeah, I had a band in high school, and it wasn't cool to play the really popular tunes. You wanted to do the what we call underground tunes back in the 60s and early 70s.
But they were cover tunes.
But they were covers. Like, you know, somebody
else wrote it.
Some obscure kind of garage grunge band or a metal band, you know, that may have had a deep cut way in the album that no one would know.
Interesting.
About.
Right. Yeah, like the Knack, the Knack has the big hit My Sharona, but you listen to their first album,
right.
There's 10 other songs that are really cool that you never heard in the radio.
Exactly.
So I spent 15 years DJing weddings and bar mitzvahs, and I was really busy. But being a DJ, you never, ever, ever get to play anything that at least 60% of the people in the room don't know by heart.
Right.
If you do, they all sit down, this being New England.
Yeah.
So this whole deep cut thing is a real new experience for me. I'm listening, these guys are like, here, listen to this. I'm like, what? You've never heard that before? Like, no. Nobody ever asked for it at a North Shore wedding. And it's great.
Right.
Well, a lot of the music we do, not to belabor this whole point, but it's more, acoustic, kind of folk. But, Trish and I also have a background in doing a lot of traditional music, Celtic music, Irish music, some, Americana, even some, should I say it, bluegrass type of stuff. One time we got labeled as a bluegrass band.
What's wrong
but we're
with
not.
Bluegrass?
We love bluegrass.
I played
just
in a Celtic band. Maritime sea shanty bluegrass folk band for 6 years.
Yeah.
I would go.
that sounds fun. Really good bands over the years.
So I have a question. So do you feel like, I always think about passing the music on to the, next generations. Is there value? Do you see value in bringing those old tunes, cover tunes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like a museum brings, history to the people so we don't forget.
My son is 22 now, and he's a musician. He's a really good one, and his band is the most eclectic band you ever heard. And it's because we force these kids to listen to WIOR, and whatever. And they play doo-wop, everything from doo-wop to unintelligible crap that I have no idea what it is. But everything in the middle, they're very eclectic. And so the answer is emphatically yes. This stuff is really important.
Important to you.
I think so. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, music is music. It doesn't matter what era, what generation. If it's good music, it should be heard. It's
And I find that kids really do kind of light up when they hear the old
they do.
Songs on
You're
vinyl
right.
that
yeah.
they never would have heard otherwise.
Yeah.
I've been very critical on the show about auto-tune and other studio tricks.
Me too.
And the songwriting process, I'm not going to pick on Kanye West, but yeah, I will.
Have at it.
I mean, they'll show him the genius sitting in front of this MIDI controller, and it's like there's no other human being in the room, and he's writing songs by pressing buttons that are, loops that somebody else recorded, as opposed to not just the old days, but songwriters who will... Yeah. Sit down, strum a guitar, play a piano, and then they build a song around it, as opposed to building it with a computer. So there's certainly an appreciation for me the real struggle of writing a song. So
I think that should continue to be a more of a human process rather than a digital one.
Right.
I don't know. I don't want us to get so detached from who we are.
After the zombie apocalypse, there will be no digital...
There'll be no instruments.
I thought that was going on now, but...
just in a certain...
In a way.
Pennsylvania.
In a way.
All right. Well,
why don't we... you want to jump into another tune, and then we'll have some more chat?
Sure.
We'll do your tune.
Well, what's next?
We'll just go right down the line. We'll do yours next.
All right. I got to just make sure I'm in tune here. Because it's a little warm and humid. Also, if you stop, if I stop playing in the middle of the song, it's because my hands are so sweaty, I'm losing grip on my pick.
I love it when you get like that.
But I have another pick, and you just might hear me drop off.
Yeah. I'm going to put this fan on. If it gets to be too much...
let's see, am I too much ambient noise?
Noisy? Let's play it by ear.
I'm not picking up through the headset. So.
Cool. So Trish and Gary mentioned that I had songs. I don't have many songs because I went through my entire career playing in cover bands and pop rock and lounge lizard bands and stuff like that, and it never occurred to me that anybody would ever, ever, ever play one of my songs. It's sort of like, you know, what's the last thing a bass player hears before he gets fired is, you know, hey, let's try one of my songs. And so, you know, these guys said, well, you know, you have originals, right? I'm like, yeah. So here's a song I never, ever thought anybody would ever play. It's a song about some guy named Jesus. It goes like this. Go like this. Jesus came over Friday night. Didn't have much to say, said he wasn't feeling right. Gave him some aspirin and a glass of old Chablis. Then we went into the den and watched us some TV. After a while I went to bed.
Jesus, he was right there where I left him yesterday. I found Jesus.
If he doesn't drink too much, I'll let him stay. While I was gone, he cleaned up good. Did all the dishes and he polished all the wood. Hadn't looked at good in years. I said, let's go downtown and have a couple of beers. He told me all about his life, how he loved the little children, why he never took a wife. All about the fishes and the loaves that he enjoyed.
Jesus, what he thinks of me and what he thinks of you.
Yes, I do.
I know Jesus.
'Cause I drank with him till almost half past two.
Take it, Trish.
Get me one of them Jesus guys.
I know, right? I could loan them to you for a while. Sure.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Have you tried that one in the Bible Belt?
He never shows up.
Below the Mason-Dixon line.
He never shows up. You caught him.
Nashville?
Oh, man.
It's Nashville. Nashville, Tennessee.
Nice.
So I'm curious. You said that you wrote these songs.
Yeah.
As a bass player on your bass, and you really thought no one would ever play them with you?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, why?
Well, it was a fun
song.
Well,
I mean, I wasn't in a, I know. Well, thank you. I was just never in a situation where, like, you know, you know what's cool about doing this? And you, these guys
me
really.
Gary.
You and Gary. These guys cool were like it. A dream come true. When I saw the ad in Craigslist, I was like, I got to do this, because I'm a little older than I used to be, and
I'm not.
I know you're. Well, you're. You know, you were playing.
She's ageless.
You were playing with.
I love when people say that.
Frankie Avalon back. You know, you look great.
It's exclusive. You know?
Her and Annette. Yeah, that's right.
That is Annette.
Yeah, that's right. It's Annette and Frankie.
That's right. From the grave.
But I'm really, really tired. I mean, I have a pretty wide musical taste, I think, and I was really tired of playing in scummy bars, having drunk people yell Freebird at me. And when you play folk, as you know,
a fate worse right? than
right.
death.
Well, exactly, and I'm a little tired of it. And when you play this stuff,
especially
you get
if you
to
don't
play.
Know Freebird.
I know. Unfortunately, I know it too well.
Gary, he thinks he's going to get to play in really nice places with us.
No, all I know is you
no,
get to play,
long enough.
And people sit and they actually listen. They yeah. may not
when
like what
play?
You're doing all that. Yeah.
They listen?
Do. They listen.
Awesome.
Like, it's like church.
What's
they
your
sit
secret?
There with their, and if somebody pulls out their cell phone, they get their hand slapped. Listen to the band. I love it. I'm
jeez,
excited.
I got to
I'm
know
excited.
Where those venues are.
Well, I think we're trying to pull for more of those venues, if you will.
I didn't
play,
know they existed.
We play plenty of venues where, you know.
They didn't do that?
Yeah, people were just drinking and laughing and talking and not listening. Kind of like the ones you were just describing.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like, I thought
well,
that's
I'm
all there
here,
was.
Then, because I'm not doing that.
Well, I think it's most of them.
I mean, unless you're on the stage performing for listening audience, what, like, do you have venues like that
yes.
that you play at
yeah.
that are listening rooms?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
in Nashville, they have the Bluebird Cafe.
We're,
like,
we're playing there next month.
We are?
No, that's next June, June 2020.
They literally
it's a
have
long drive.
Signs.
I should leave now.
They literally have signs that say, shh.
Well, we know we yeah. are. We play some really nice venues.
Around the area?
Yeah, or in fact, we're playing one in Lynn. That's kind of a list.
Yes, Walnut the Walnut Street is very serious about being a listening room. And we'll be doing the West Newbury Bandstand Summer Concert Series, and they're always very attentive. And, you know, the yeah.
Cat in the Cradle,
in Byfield. Yeah. And when we've done First Friday up in Exeter. And
yeah, we're doing the listening room at some point, aren't we?
Yeah.
And the listening room up in Lowell.
Yeah. Lowell. The hearing room.
The hearing room.
With
that's
Aaron
listening
here. Tonberg.
I made it. Same thing.
Cool.
Same difference.
Sorry, guys,
that's
if you're listening.
That's great. That's inspiring
and
that
the old
people
new,
actually listen.
The old new coffee house in Newburyport, too.
Which
there's,
is a
there's event. A lot. There's a seems to be a bigger, you know, a revival of this and people asking for listening rooms. And maybe because people are getting tired of having to compete with the sporting events on the big TVs and
right.
you
well,
know.
And all the talking and
yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's awful.
Drinking,
it really is. It's
talking louder and louder.
But yeah, when you can't hear over a band, we can't. When the crowd is louder than the band, it kind of bites.
Happens all the time.
It does.
Turning up the volume.
Yep.
No,
total,
but if you, right. there's actually, if you look, there's a number of really good listening room venues out there, and we're always discovering more. We talked to other musicians, and they let us know where
cool.
they played, and so there's actually. They're out there.
It's an inside secret. You don't want too many people to know.
Right, in a way, but why not? I mean, if you really want a listening room, they're out there. So keep your eyes and ears open.
Well, okay, let me ask about the origins of you musically, because we'll start with you, Steve, on bass, because a lot of times the bass player is the guy who drew the short straw. In my case, it wasn't, because I just love the bass. I love the sound. I love the feel of it.
Okay.
So, like, did you start? I mean, I started off strumming guitar, then I switched to bass. But what was your origin?
Yeah,
story?
I never did that.
Yeah, really?
No, I was. I think I was 15, high school, and there was this kid in school who was, you know, he played piano and he played guitar and he had a really nice voice, and he would go in the auditorium and he would play like Bread tunes and. You know, this is in the 70s, you know, play Color My World by Chicago. And the girls would all fly around like hummingbirds around a flower.
Oh, you said, I want a piece of that.
I said, I totally.
Piece of what?
And I was just hanging around.
Piece of that.
I wanted that. And I was hanging around. I was singing harmony. And I'm like, oh, yeah,
you know
Dave's
what he
my
meant.
Friend.
Yeah.
And then he and this drummer said, well, let's start a band. I was like, all right, we need a bass player. Let's get Steve Strait in the band. I'm like, okay, cool. And they came to me and said, you want to be in my band? I'm like, yeah. He said, can you play bass? And I'm like, I don't even know what that is, but yeah. And that's how I started. And I told my parents you had to buy me a bass, and they said, what's that? And that's all I've ever – I can play a little guitar, and I'm very little, and I play a little piano and stuff, but bass is all I've ever been. And I'm happy. I just wanted to be in the band, so I was happy.
And it all worked out.
It all worked out.
And just had all those women just – fallen at your feet.
Yeah, and then about that, then it's like, you're in the band, right? Yeah, what do you do? I play bass. Oh, you're not
do you know the drummer?
In the band. Yeah.
You know the drummer.
Can you get me in with that other guitar player? He's super cute. Oh, my God.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Very good. Nice story. Mm. We believe you, too.
Most of us do.
More information than we needed, but it was not.
Trish, how about yourself?
We believe nothing that Steve says. Nothing.
But I know nothing. That's true.
How I started in music, singing to the top of my lungs to everything on the radio from the time I was Jay Hyde to a grasshopper, with my dad in the car singing to the oldies and my grandmother while she was cleaning around the house. And then when I got into grammar school, just loved my music classes that were provided in the public school system, and then found out that some kids were taking piano lessons through school, and I wanted to take piano, but there weren't any more piano classes or lessons available. And someone told my mother, well, violin is available. And so I got hooked up with a violin, and the rest was history. I started when I was in fifth grade, and it carried me all through grammar school, high school, college. I ended up with a full tuition scholarship to a state school for music due to my violin playing. And most of it was classical, but there was always a little tidbit of acoustic kind of fiddling music that was, taught to us. So.
Yeah. What school?
I grew up in Cambridge. So I went to the Cambridge public school system, and then I went to Westfield State.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Very good. Yeah.
Great. And Gary, we'll skip you.
Okay. Not much to tell.
It's a long
story. Do you have a story?
Yeah, let's hear it, since we're all here.
Well, I was a childhood actor, and I started out in the movie Mary Poppins. I was a little dirty chimney sweep kid.
Talk
in the back.
Me.
Actually, I started out playing classical piano. My parents wanted me to play piano, and I initially hated it, but I've always loved music. And one of my very favorite first albums, which I still have to this day, is Peter Paul and Mary's first album, which my parents got through the mail. They used the Record of the Month Club. And they were like, what the hell is this beatnik music? They said, do you want it to me? And I said, yeah, and I loved it. So I started in folk music early. Took piano for classical for like 8 or 9 years, and then of course when the Beatles were on TV,
forget about it.
And it was all about the guitar, and it was like, so I finally convinced my parents at age 11 or 12 to get me a cheap electric guitar, and it just took off from there. And then I've playing guitar. I play some other stringed instruments as well, like Irish bouzouki or octave mandolin.
Irish
also,
what?
Bouzouki.
It's like a long mandolin, isn't it? It's just a long eight string.
Yes, yeah. Eight string. It's like a long. There's an instrument called the Greek bouzouki, and the Irish, around the late 60s, early 70s, started adopting. I'm going more into this than you probably need to know. Instrument into their music, and it's still used to this day, except that they make them now in Ireland, and they actually make them over here as well. They've kind of changed the shape, and the tone is a little different. But I do that, and I also play some squeeze boxes too, just to let you know. So if you ever need a sea shanty up here in Gloucester, I'm your man.
Why would they need a sea shanty in Gloucester?
I don't know. But I was just going to go on Main Street and just play my concertina and see what people do.
Probably do well.
Yeah, I think you do really well, actually. Yeah.
All right, I'm making up on that, Annette. So that's kind of like...
All right.
That's it in a nutshell.
Very nice. So and did you start writing right away, or...?
I've been writing songs since I was a teenager. You know, some of them not very good, but I started writing probably when I was 15 or 16 and kind of gone on and off. I don't have a lot of confidence writing, but some of the songs I write I think are pretty good. I get some good feedback.
I think so.
I don't write a lot, but they come in bursts.
Had any songs that you remember hearing? And I mean, me as a songwriter, I'd hear a song that I loved and I'd think, I need to write a song like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like any examples of... like artists like Paul Simon.
Paul Simon definitely on the top there.
Peter Paul and Mary, obviously.
James Taylor. But I also listen to a lot of, singer-songwriter folks. I mean, Stephen Stills. I mean, anybody who is just a great singer or songwriter. I know Joni Mitchell, actually. Joni Mitchell was a huge influence. She's brilliant.
You know. Yeah. Kanye's big on my list.
Yeah. One of my biggest influences, Kanye West.
Don't get me started.
He encouraged me to get my Make America Great hat. So I feel like Superman when I... Anyway. So why don't we switch over to one of your recordings. We're going to listen to Rough and Rocky. You want to tell us a bit about this while I cue it up?
Yeah, I first learned this song through someone that I had the great fortune of taking some vocal lessons with, Kathy Ryan, who's an Irish performer, singer, songwriter. And I learned this song not from her personally, but from her recording, and just fell in love with it. And it's a traditional song, and Gary and I recorded it, I don't know, back in, what was that?
7 or 8 years ago?
2014?
Something like that, 2013, 2014.
What All is right. Rough and Rocky what?
It's actually a blue. It has a tradition in bluegrass too. It's like, you know, this road is rough and rocky. It's about a how life and relationships can be difficult.
So it's a rough and rocky road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's give it a listen here. Rough and Rocky. And Rocky. So, why don't you tell us a bit about the recording session? Let's talk about what you've got on Reverb Nation, and start promoting where people can find you.
Yeah, well, we definitely have a presence on Reverb Nation, reverbnation.com/wildmaple. And on there is, well, we have our own website as well, but on Reverb Nation there's basically our album, which was called Sugar. Well, I guess it is called Sugar, but when we did it back in the past, I was using a past tense verb. We called it Sugar. It's still called Sugar.
Sweet.
Should I continue talking about that?
Wait, I'm confused.
The album's called Sugar.
The band's called Wild Maple, and the album's called Sugar.
Yeah. Wild Maple. It sounded like Wild People.
Wild Maple. And like
we are Wild People, too.
But. And I suggest we call the next album Syrup, but so far that hasn't gotten a lot of...
So, and then we do also have a website up and running again. We had a website that was down for a little bit, and that's so wildmapleband.com, and you can find us there as well. We also have a presence on Instagram, is that
Instagram
correct?
And Facebook. We're trying to do it all, like everybody, just trying to keep up with all that social media
stuff. We have
a
MySpace account.
MySpace, nice, all right.
Yeah.
We do.
AOL.
Yeah. We only have one
sake.
Friend.
Prodigy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed, but my email is still AOL. So.
Oh, I was just teasing.
And I noticed you're a little nebulous on the Instagram thing.
I'm nebulous, because I'm not an Instagrammer.
Right.
Patricia's moving us ahead into the future.
It's very new.
Yeah.
She's an Instagrammer.
It's very new.
I think we
nothing.
Should take pictures right here with Greg, do selfies with Greg, and post them on Instagram. Right?
Yeah.
That's what I think.
We're definitely going to do a couple of shots after.
Let's get Annette
sure.
in the shot, too.
No, Annette, no.
Oh, come on.
No, actually, I'd rather have Annette in the picture. No offense.
And I can get my daughter or my wife to come down and take a picture.
That'd be good, too.
I think that would be good.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Or if you could have, I could take the picture, and my wife and daughter could be in it.
Yeah, that's even better.
Or I'll just give you pictures of them to put on your Instagram.
Even better still, yeah.
So how do you,
I'm not in it.
How do you feel about the importance of social media and getting your music out to the world?
I think the paradigm has completely changed. It has completely changed. The way we access information of any kind, the way we access information and entertainment, is not at all what it was 10 years ago. Not at all. It is now not an option to opt out of Instagram, Facebook. And, when Facebook gets sued and gets, bought out by Amazon and they change the name, we'll have to go to that. But the social media aspect of life is here and it's here to stay. It's absolutely essential. You drown in obscurity if you don't do it.
And I think you said that very well. But I think Trish and I were also very conflicted and mixed about the presence. We didn't mind doing our own website, but getting out on Facebook and stuff, we were a little, at least I was, dicey about that. So,
so you feel like it's kind of a necessary evil.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And like as Steve was saying,
Yeah, and it's so universal, and it's simple, whereas website maintenance is not as easy, because you can just on the fly, here's a shot of us, we're playing tonight, come on down, we start in an hour.
Right.
On Facebook.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's where people are at. So
it's not even going to be necessary. The whole notion of having a website is kind of going away. Because to do what? We have Instagram and Facebook for our pictures. We have Facebook for our pictures. We have other things to post. Here's where we're going to be. Here's what we look like. Here's what we sound like. We have Reverb Nation for that.
And that's why they have MySpace.
Personally, I don't like the format of Facebook or Instagram. I don't feel like they allow you to be individual. It's, you plug into their things. And I do like the creative aspect of having an official website that you've kind of put your own touch on.
Right.
And it's, it's a little bit of you. It's a little bit like your room. And the necessary evil of the social media, it's there. I just really try and look at it as a business, and I don't want to get sucked into it as a, at the little, the mouse at the little pedal, hitting the button, trying to get the feed.
The BF
and the other
box.
Thing that bugs me about it is the feed, things get lost, and the feed is just the feed. At least with your website, you can kind of keep your stuff right there.
And the feed is a moment in time.
Exactly.
Because, so, I mean, I'm in the real estate biz. Plug for Greg Berger Real Estate.
Greg is a great real estate agent.
508-284-3399.
That's awesome. Call Greg if you want to buy a house.
Thank you. But they, all the info we get in the business is your hub is your website. And then the other stuff is secondary. But it all fits together. But the website, like you say, that's personalized. It's not the here's the blue and white. That's the colors of Facebook. This is my look. And then, you know, the feed is what's going on day to day, hour to hour from Facebook and Instagram.
Right.
You think you get the most mileage out of Instagram, Facebook? Is there one?
I think we get the most mileage, honestly, out of our email list and our direct mailings at this point because of who our followers are who's interested in us. But we've only just scratched the tip of the iceberg of Facebook and Instagram, literally, in the last couple of months. And I'm amazed to see the number of people that have shot up as followers and likes on both.
I did it today.
But it's but still
you.
we have more people on our mailing list than we have
picture of,
on there. And I know the people on the mailing list. I've shook hands with them at shows. I've watched them, you know, right there. You don't know all the people on Facebook and Instagram that are following you and liking you, and there's that connection either.
Right.
So
yeah, I think Greg would attest to the importance of shaking somebody's hand and making eye contact, and once you've done that.
Yeah.
You know? Right, and if you don't do it well, you lose elections.
Exactly, right.
Like I did. So anyway.
I see it says Greg Verga from mayor.
Yeah,
you're not the mayor.
As you can see, I'm doing this show, and I'm not sitting in the city
the
hall
mayor.
Corner office.
But, I always try again.
But I'll tell you, I was telling Gary before we started, I did 14 years, 8 years on the school committee, 6 years on the city council, then I ran for mayor and lost. And the stuff I've been doing since I got out of politics is I've been like, why did I wait 14 years to start doing this stuff?
Great.
So
good.
So here we are. So our guest today is Greg Verga here on the
but you know, Greg,
what do you think about our band?
I think Greg, I have to say
I'm running for mayor.
Greg is the mayor of Unfinished Music.
He is.
So, and I should do the station identification. This is Greg Verga here on Unfinished Music. My co-host today is Annette Dion, and
Hello.
We are joined by Wild Maple, not Wild Maple Syrup. And
not Wild People either.
Not Wild People or Wild Thing. And Wild Maple Syrup.
Well,
are
you
Gary
don't know
Dolinsky
that yet.
On vocals and guitars, Trish DiCaprio on vocals and violin, and Steve Strait on vocals and bass. And it's pronounced straight, not straight-gitta. All right. So
don't get confused when you read that name.
That's a different guy.
Yes, it was, but they changed it at Ellis Island, you know, my great-great-great-grandfather.
Yeah, when they came off the boat,
At least Dolinsky is an easy name.
Sting is already taken, unfortunately.
Yeah, Sting was taken,
Right.
And he plays a similar bass.
Right, but if I had to change my name, I'd take Annette's name. That's cool.
Dion's
a cool name.
Let me ask, I hate, since I'm a bass player, I'm sorry I got to focus in. The five-string bass, how long have you been doing five-string?
It's been about 15 years, I think. And, I think five-string is a great thing because I think it's a sign of incredible laziness. You know, as a bass player, what happens is when you have that extra string, it just means you don't have to move your hands so much depending on, you know, what key you're in. So if you got a six-string or an eight-string, as you were alluding to earlier, you never, ever have to move your hand at all. Man. You just stay right there.
I did have a six-string briefly, and I sold it while I was saving up for my new Rickenbacker.
This is all I can handle, and it's more than I need. This particular instrument is just kind of an anomaly. I think if I were to buy it again, I wouldn't have gotten the five string in this thing. But
would you gotten the two string one?
I would have gotten the one string.
The basin with the broom handle.
Right.
Yeah, with the clothesline on it. Yeah, that's the one.
That one I done that.
You want to plug the company? What kind of bass is up?
This is your signature model?
Yeah, this I built this myself out of this is an NS bass, and it's I don't even know what kind of an instrument they call it. I call it a stick, but it's made of some sort of composite material. There's actually no actual natural ingredients in here whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's made out of plastic and old milk bottles or something.
But it looks like wood.
Fleece.
It looks like
wood. I think it's made out of fleece, too.
But it's not fleece. Yeah.
Sweet.
I got it before I got a stand-up because you know, I didn't play upright my whole life, but I wanted to get an upright, and I couldn't afford it, nor could I fit it in my car, so
it's
I got
this. It's a
little
easier to carry
instead.
That thing.
Yeah.
And then my wife allowed me to get a stand-up, so I did. And
jeez.
So I've been a happy guy, so I now have all these things.
Well, I can tell you, wife, my wife bought me that Rick for my 50th birthday. So next big birthday,
wow.
Just a reminder, that's the rule.
Okay. What, the upright, are you going for the upright on your 6-0?
Going for a 12-string Rickenbacker. She's up there listening right now. She's upstairs. Oh. Upstairs, not like
I have.
What's her name?
Kelly.
Kelly.
Kelly, that Roger McGuinn 12-string Rickenbacker is calling.
Yeah, I'd like to put a deposit on that.
He's earned it, Kelly. He's worth it, don't you think?
We want to hear that jingle jangle.
Yeah.
And I'll come following him.
So speaking of jingle jangle, you want to hit us up with something else?
Sure.
Yeah. So we're going to do River Road, which is a song that I wrote, my first contribution. And first song I released on the world. It's about one of my favorite drives on the North Shore. I wanted to write a driving song because, you know, you're always in your car and you're always listening to music and you're always banging that steering wheel and you know. So this
right,
is.
Let's start banging our steering wheel.
This is River
All
Road.
Right.
Ready?
The sunset shines and the full moon glows on the water as the
Thank you.
You have a lovely voice.
Thank you very much. So,
do you have a struggle writing? Does it come to naturally? Lyrics first, music first? What's?
I write totally in my head. The lyrics and the melody come together as one. And I record a lot of stuff into my phone, and then I'll kind of go back and work it out.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just in my head. And then, you know, eventually I might pluck it out on my instrument or bow it or, you know, play a little bit and bring it to these guys and fill in the chord structure around it.
All right.
So are you ever driving around and you have this tune in your head and you're like, what is that tune? What is that tune? And then you're like, oh, that's my song.
I haven't done that yet. I haven't maybe written enough songs yet to do that.
But Trish, just the other day, actually last night, you said you had you heard a tune in a dream.
Oh, well, yes. I had a dream, and I woke up, and I'm like, the lyrics and the music all in my head, got up,
that's
recorded
awesome.
It, and I'm like, this is going to be good. I really feel like this next one that's brewing is, but it just downloaded while I was sleeping. So
nice.
I
got it from the ether.
I'm tuning into
songs
that.
Songs get delivered.
I'm tuning into that more. But
download. We're talking about artificial intelligence earlier. So
yeah, right.
The aliens just
downloaded. Yeah, they came on. They implanted a chip
going back
in
to
your head.
Going back to the conversation we had earlier about listening rooms, I had the fortunate opportunity to perform that in a singer-songwriter night at the Linden Tree Coffee House in Wakefield, and audience voted number one.
Awesome.
So I was very pleased with that. That was my first time ever putting anything out to the world, and it was well received.
What song was that?
River Road, that song.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right.
I was in my mind driving on the road.
Yeah. Near the river.
Where is this River Road? This fabled road.
You know, the leaves on the trees by the By the shores of the Merrimack.
Water?
On the shores of the Merrimack.
Yeah. It's an actual road?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And Rocks Village is the section of Merrimack and Haverhill on the other side of the bridge from West Newbury,
nice.
Where the bridge crosses over the Merrimack there. And it's just a stunning drive all along the river.
Now there's going to be a traffic jam there after your show airs.
Yes, right. They want to see it.
Rudy Brenda.
So you're still in the early stages of the dream song, though? You haven't started to flesh that out?
No.
Do you have plans for another recording?
I'd love to. Just when our schedule would allow.
We
need to.
We need to.
We need to do it. I think going to have to maybe work on a few more tunes to fill it out. But I can't wait. I can't wait to record with these guys.
So you haven't recorded yet. So
I have not. No.
For the Sugar album, Sweet album, Sugar.
Sugar.
Yep. Sugar. Sugar. Yes. Sweet Maple.
What was the process for that? Where were you?
Total chaos.
Like home studio or?
Well, we have a musician friend, colleague who lives up just down the street from Trish. Chris Paglia, who Chris is just a great bass player himself and great all-around guy. And he has a little home studio about the size of this place. And we tucked in there and recorded the album or the LP. It's not an LP anymore. I guess it's a CD.
A-track.
Yeah.
Wow. CDs are gone there.
Yeah, I know.
Gary.
I know. Damn. I'm just dating myself over and over again.
What's a CD?
How about an A-track?
Yeah,
like
I know.
A cassette.
I have a story to tell about
A-Track.
So this was a total digital release?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. We tucked ourselves in there. We came up with a group of songs that are on there that we really enjoyed and we played out a lot, and that's what we put on. We did want to put one of my originals on there, but we just, I think I was in the headspace where I just wasn't up to performing it well enough, so it didn't actually make it onto the LP.
Yeah, there's a few that didn't make it onto there.
Right.
We've been wanting to go back and get those on there and then some additional ones. But
great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm liking what I'm hearing, so I'm looking forward to it. And since I'm now on the mailing list, I'll know about it before everybody else.
Awesome. You will.
You will
check your email.
Probably will, because you'll be like, I would think you're one of the first people we'd want.
Yeah, when your box says you've got mail, you'll know,
right? Yeah, and absolutely.
Like in the movie.
Have you back here again to to promote whatever you got going on? So while we're on the subject of promoting, talking about segues here, what have you got coming up that you want to let folks know about?
Next Friday, Walnut Street Cafe in Lynn, Massachusetts. We're there from 8 to 10. It's going to be a full night of us.
Okay, well, this is being pre-recorded, so the date is?
The date is Saturday, Friday. Friday, June 28th at the Walnut Street Cafe in Lynn.
8 o'clock.
All right, and beyond that?
We are at the West Newbury Bandstand on August 1st. It's a Thursday night. That's 6:30 to 8.
Outdoor concert.
Mm-hmm. That's in August. In September, we've got the Cat in the Cradle Coffee House coming up on September 21st, and that's 7 o'clock, doors open, 7:30 start time. In October, we're doing the Hearing Room on October 4th. I think that's a Friday night. I think that's an 8 o'clock start time. See who does the bookings and all the bookkeeping.
And you're
I just wait for the phone call.
Nice
Steve,
job.
You have a gig.
Yeah, show up.
Crap. Okay.
I didn't even know we were playing those places. So.
You didn't get
I'll
the
be
email?
There as soon as I can.
So you
check
do,
your email.
Yeah, I was going to say, you do keep up the website, so people there can go to
wildmapleband.com
to keep up with the latest and greatest of what's cooking.
Yep.
All right. And certainly go on to the Facebook page, like it and follow, and go look for the mailing list on the wildmapleband.com.
All right. Who named it Wild Maple?
That's good. Yeah, good question. Forgot to ask that.
We wanted a name that was New England-y because we both are from New England and we just love the area. So
how about Tame Maple?
That was one of the top three.
traffic jam on 128.
Band names are so hard. We went round and round and round, and then it was almost like start throwing, and I don't know how it ever stuck.
We like the idea of something natural, something that represents New England. Maple tree came up, and then I think it came up to, should we have it a wild maple tree? And then I can't remember if it was Trish or myself. We somehow shortened it to just wild maple.
Aren't they all wild maples? That is special.
No, domestic maples?
There's domestic ones. Yeah. Trish, aren't there?
Okay. I would say I'm the wild.
I learned so much.
You have
today.
A farm and you grow maple trees.
I'm the wild
so domestic.
It would be domestic if you planted it.
Domestic maple too long.
Well, I do have a Japanese maple in my driveway, but that wouldn't
nice.
Have the same.
Does
it
give sap in the sake or what is it?
It gives sake. Yes, it's wonderful.
Berwyn in the back of the studio.
Yeah. So, all right. Hey, we've still got a few minutes. You guys want to do like one more live song, and then we'll chat a little bit, go out, and then we'll go with our closer that we talked about?
Sure. Yeah. Cool.
All right. So one quick station ID. Greg Verga here on Unfinished Music. Today, my guest host, co-host is Annette Dion. Hi, Annette.
Hello.
And we're joined by Wild Maple. And as we know, the name is supposed to be New England, and here we are in New England. And my maple is Gary Delinsky, Trish DiCaprio, Steve Strait. And I have to keep referring to my list so I don't mess it up. I've done that before on shows.
I'm totally hip to that, man.
One thing I've done on shows before is I didn't realize the guest songs had a bit of a pause, and I would start to say, hey, great song, then they'd start up again. So, so if you notice, when you finish your songs, I give a little bit of room. Because I don't want to look like a dumbass again. So what have you got up for us now for our final live song?
Do you want to do State of the Heart, Windmill Lane, or Maple Moonshine?
I'm good with any of them.
So I'm just the bass player.
Somebody choose. Somebody choose something. Those are the
Steve,
those are the three.
I'm taking State of the Heart.
Yeah, that's what I was going to pick.
Was it? Yeah, because I like that song too.
I don't know the song. I like the title though.
It makes me happy. I don't know the author. Trish knows the.
What's it called?
State of the Heart, or affectionately called Falling.
Mm-hmm.
So this was written by my former music partner a number of years ago, Faye Murphy now. Her name at that point was Faye Coffey, and she and I put together this duo called Compass Rose, and this was one of our more popular tunes that we did back then, and Trish liked it so much we picked it up, and now we do it as Wild Maple.
All right.
With Faye's blessing.
With Faye's blessing. Two capos. What do we got going on here for the gearheads out there?
He's an orthodontist, actually.
Oh, yeah. He's got the headgear and the elastics.
Well,
trying to look fancy.
That's really what it is. So I try to keep ahead on the guitar, although I'm still on AOL, so I guess different parts of my life. I feel I look pretty cool with two. Sometimes they put three capos on.
I've never seen that.
There's a picture of this, right, Craig? Because you can't explain this to people. Yeah.
What this allows me to do is save a lot of time tuning, because this is actually in a DadCAD. So at gigs, these fake capos kind of adjust the strings such that I can go into an open tuning with minimal string tuning and changes and no worries about breaking a string or a lot less. And so it just, like right now, I'm just in this nice open deck.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? And these are great capos. They're only about $540 each. So
great.
I'll get them to you.
That's pretty pricey.
Holy moly.
You can get Wild Maple stamped on there. It'll be like a little promo there.
Yeah. Right now they have Kaiser stamped on them, but... with Kaiser capos. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I'm in the right key.
Yep.
There we go. So this is Falling by Faye Murphy, and Trish is going to sing lead on this. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you so much for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, again, thank you very much, Greg and Annette.
Thank you. Yeah,
yes, that was fun.
It was. And thank you, Annette, for coming in.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Being the pinch hitter here as my co-host. So this is Greg Berger along with Annette Dion on Unfinished Music here from Beachbrook Studio. Our guests tonight have been Wild Maple, which is Gary Delinsky, Trish DiCaprio, and Steve Strait. And really, I thank you guys for making the trek down here to the, well, we're technically the mainland. We're not on the island yet. Mm-hmm. But coming down to the Cape Ann to see us and chat and play some wonderful songs for us.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It was inspiring.
Yeah, we had a good time.
All right. Well, we're going to go out with Blackbird. You want to tell us a bit about Blackbird? And we'll
This song comes to us from Athens, Ohio, a singer-songwriter named Chris
Beister.
I had a nice chat with him on the phone to get his approval to record his song. And, I fell in love with this song. A friend of mine went to school down there and brought this song, his CD back, and I just fell in love with it. I love the imagery. You just have to listen to the words of the song. Yeah. But it's about a relationship, and it's really about the guy, realizing how important the woman is and how he'd be nothing without her.
All right. Well, let's give a listen to Blackbird. And, again, thank you, Wild Maple, for coming down. And thank you, folks, for listening in. This is Greg Berger here on Unfinished Music. And if you have any ideas for guests, send me an email, greg@gregberger.com, or give me a call at 508-284-3399. You can also reach me if you want to buy or sell a house, too. At any rate, thanks, folks, and we will see you next time on Unfinished Music.
She's a lightning on the ridgetop in a cold late summer rain. She's a rainbow on a fluttering of wings in the east, it is new life morning through. Well, he's a cigarette butts and pocket change, and it's wet from the ballroom floor. He's a shout at last call panic as he stumbles to the door. Well, he's an empty broken bottle as it sails against the wall. He's a telephone ringing at 4 a.m. and he's praying that she's taking the call. Well, he knows he'd feel a whole lot better with her standing by his side. Demons all fall away on the roadside along.